What do you think happens when you admit that you were wrong? Do you believe that people in the room will think less of you? That they will not believe you're as capable of a leader? That you are not intelligent? That you are not able to lead the organization? In my experience, it's the exact opposite. I'm Michael Mogul, founder and CEO of Crisp, the nation's number one law firm growth company. I've built my business through practice, not theory. Crisp started with just $500 to my name and has grown to over eight figures in revenue over the last few years, earning a spot on the Inc. 500 list of the fastest growing private companies in America. Our approach has been to take everything we've learned about generating massive growth within our own organization and help the country's most ambitious and committed law firm owners do the same for theirs. In each episode of this podcast, I sit down with innovative market leaders from the legal industry and beyond to learn from those who thrive in the face of adversity, challenge the status quo, and define what it means to be a true game changer.
This is Jessica, Head of Coaching Strategy at Crisp, and today we're flipping the script for another special edition episode to get Michael's take on the balance between tightly held values and loosely held beliefs, the power of empathy and considering alternative points of view, and why embracing change is not just the key to growth, but the essence of transformation.
When there's new technology, not embracing that and not implementing a case management system, not embracing artificial intelligence, not doing things that can improve the output and productivity of your law firm will put you at a competitive disadvantage. The only reason you would not embrace these things is because it either scares you and it's unfamiliar, or because you are so set in your ways that you are purposely putting your firm at a competitive disadvantage, which is just silly.
That's coming up on the Game Changing Attorney Podcast.
What are we going to talk about today, Jessica? Because people tuning in, they want those great answers to those incredible questions. And for those of you tuning in for the very first time, this is the AMMA. It's a special edition episode. We do a few different types of episodes on the podcast. So for those of you that are already familiar, you can fast forward ahead to the questions. But if you're not, I'll tell you briefly, we've got our traditional interview style podcast. We bring on experts from the legal industry and beyond. And then we've got our encore edition, some of our most popular episodes that we bring back onto the podcast. And then these AMMAs, you guys submit the questions at 404-531-7691. You can text us and we might just answer your question here on the podcast. So with that, Jessica, what do we got this week?
Yeah, some good ones. All right, here we go. First one. A few years ago, I heavily reinforced the importance of perfection to my associates, sending out and filing every document without a single error. I've let up on that a lot, and now I encourage my staff to take risk and try new things. Can you share an example of a belief or strategy you once staunchly believed in, but later realized was flawed or outdated? And what did this experience teach you?
Oh, all the time.
All the time.
All the time. There's a saying that the best leaders have strong opinions, loosely held. And what that means is that if you receive new information, that you are open to changing your beliefs and your perspectives, which is 100%, I think, a quality of effective leadership. Because I find that if you're just stuck, if no amount of data can change your mind or change your perspective, well, then that's going to create all sorts of blind spots for you. And it's probably going to be the reason why you don't grow and evolve. So is this a question more so around like what's something that I used to believe strongly in that I have a very different perspective on? I mean, most things, to be honest, I mean, one that in particular, let's say from a business context that comes to mind, is that for many of the early years of Crisp, I had this belief that I had to be the one to figure everything out. So I had to be able to figure out how we were going to solve every single challenge that we would experience, any obstacle that I would encounter. If I didn't know how to do it, that I had to figure out how to do it. I had to learn. I had to develop my skills in that area, even areas that were not in my strengths. I just had to figure it out. And what I've realized over time is that that's a very limiting belief, and that's a very limiting perspective, because where that starts to really affect you is that there's going to be things that you're not going to be willing to do, or a vision that may not be, you know, it's not going to be as big if you have to know how to do it, because you're going to limit yourself based on what you know how to do. And if it's going to, you know, if you're going to pursue something that you don't know how to do, then that's going to come with all sorts of obstacles, where instead the approach is very much around the fact that I do not have to be the one to figure it out. Sure, you can have the vision, but then it's all about how do I find the right people and put the people in the right roles that do know how to do it? Because again, it's a function of leverage. of being able to figure things out through the skills and capabilities of others. Because, listen, my thinking is limited. My skills are limited. There's only so much that I can do on my own as a leader. But with a team that has various skills and capabilities that knows how to do something that I do not, wow, I mean, it's like the opportunities are endless. And if you take us back to, I don't know, let's go back to 2018. And we had decided we were going to host the Game Changers Summit, our conference. For the very first time, we'd never hosted a conference before. We had no experience hosting events or conferences. It just wasn't our thing. But at the time, what we knew how to do was video and marketing, and we didn't know anything about events or logistics, but we decided to host an event. Now, at that point, I could have underwent event education of like how to host an event, how to put one together, all the logistical aspects, what audio and visual, you know, to do, what about catering, how to negotiate vendor contracts, et cetera. I mean, sure, I could have done that, but maybe the conference wouldn't happen then, and then we'd be trying to execute on something that just wasn't in our wheelhouse. Instead, we found an incredible director of events, Christy, you know, who's with us to this day and has helped us do all of the conferences and so many of our workshops and even the CRISP HQ, like our corporate training center. But she came in with that knowledge already. She'd done over 1,000 events previously. She'd learned a lot of lessons. She had a tremendous amount of experience. And from day one, we gained that capability to be able to host conferences and events, which we did not have previously. But if I had to be the one to figure that out, well, then that would have been extremely limiting, because there's the time it takes for you to learn something and then the opportunity cost of focusing your attention in one area versus another, you know, the downside, you know, the impact that can have on your business. So instead of, you know, thinking about, well, how am I going to do something? And this is the approach we now take to everything. I don't have to be able to know how to do something. We don't have to be able to know how to do something if we decide to do it. It's more about, do we have the ability and the capability to attract the right people into the organization that do know how to do it? And it's very much this mindset of just who over how, right? And who not how, which is kind of a Dan Sullivan concept. He's got a great book about this topic. And I think that's been a big shift in belief that you do not have to be the one to figure things out.
Absolutely. Could not agree more. All right. So next one, I have found myself grappling with the need to reevaluate long-held beliefs and remain open to reconsidering my stance on certain issues or strategies in my law firm. That being said, I don't like admitting that I'm wrong. How do you approach the process of reevaluating your beliefs and being open to reconsidering your stance on certain issues or strategies? You actually do a fantastic job at this.
The thing that sticks out is, I mean, at least somebody has the self-awareness to say that they do not like admitting when they're wrong. But I'm hearing that and I'm thinking, what's the big deal? Like, so what do you think happens when you admit that you are wrong? Do you believe that people in the room will think less of you, that they will not believe you're as capable of a leader, that you are not intelligent, that you are not able to lead the organization? In my experience, it's the exact opposite. So typically it's our egos that don't like the admitting when we're wrong, but at the same time, we like it when other people admit that they're wrong. And it drives us crazy when other people are stubborn and stick to their beliefs, even when they're wrong. It bothers us when we see other people's egos, but it doesn't, you know, for whatever reason, it doesn't bother us with our own ego. I think that's fascinating. So if you look at the root of any belief, why do you believe what you believe today? Okay, it's typically a summation of the information that you consume and the experiences that you've had throughout your life. That is the reason why you believe anything. And if you had different life experiences and if you consume different information, you would have different beliefs. So if it's just those two variables, I mean, this is the reason why we see, you know, specifically in politics, you see one person parroting, like parrot the animal, the bird, these sayings and phrases of, you know, a certain political group or political association. They don't have their own thoughts in their brain, right? They're not applying any sort of critical thinking. They just heard these sound bites in the media and now they're repeating them. That's what gives them the conviction to, in their mind, believe what they believe. Or they saw something, they saw some clip on a TikTok, and now they think this is the only perspective that is possible to have. And then there's right, and then there's wrong. Whereas instead, I find that if you can take the approach that everybody believes God is on their side, right? Those going into battle, everyone believes God is on their side. And yet there's sometimes a winner, and then there's a loser. And even the loser believed that God was on their side. And so I think it's really just looking at things from the perspective that, okay, what is the other side's perspective on this and how could they be right? Because there's not just like intelligent people and idiots. I mean, I know that it's an oversimplification. I think politics is just one example, but it's just understanding that, okay, if I believe strongly in one area, then there's somebody who believes strongly on the same issue, on the opposite of what I believe, why do they believe what they believe? And I think it's being open-minded enough to consider where they consume their information. And especially if you're going to listen to trusted sources, maybe there's trusted sources on both sides. Maybe there's a perspective on both sides. And it doesn't mean that you have to change your mind. It just means that you're now open to the fact and you have empathy for another perspective. The simplest example of this, I mean, again, I don't know if we'll have to edit this out of the podcast, maybe, but look, you can have this one belief whenever there's a war going on that there's one side that's good guys and there's one side that's bad guys. But imagine on the bad guys' side that you have family and relatives over there and they are dying and they're getting bombs dropped on them. And now you have empathy towards them because that's your family. It's, you know, it's your grandma or you know, whatever it is. So now you start to understand, oh, okay, well, maybe things aren't just black and white. So I think that, you know, being open to the fact that we all have blind spots, and especially from a leadership standpoint, sometimes it's very easy to gravitate to a certain assumption as to why someone did something. It's like, oh, it's because they were malicious and they wanted to screw you over, or they're just a bad human being. Maybe not. Maybe there's another side to it. Maybe there's just another perspective that we have not considered yet. And if we understood said perspective, it would give us greater insight into whatever the issue is and how to navigate it. So I find that whenever I, you know, am sure about something, that's where my spidey sense goes off. And I start to ask myself the question of what am I not seeing? What are my potential blind spots? And when I speak to sometimes our, you know, our leaders and even mentors of mine, when I'm proposing some sort of, you know, whether it's initiative or an approach or direction we're going to take with the business, I always ask them, what am I not seeing here? What could go wrong here? What's a perspective that I'm unaware of here? Right? Because if everything sounds too good to be true, oftentimes it is. And there's always another perspective. And I think the more you are willing to embrace the fact that, okay, maybe there's someone that believes the exact opposite of what I believe, and then there's a reason for that. And the better that you can understand multiple positions on an issue, on any issue, the better of a leader it makes you. So, I mean, I guess that's the biggest thing. I think it's always just considering, okay, if I'm going to believe something strongly, and there's another person who believes the opposite of what I believe strongly, then why do they believe what they believe? Because you're obviously, you know why you believe what you believe, but even then, it's on shaky foundation. It's based on your life experiences and the information you consume. And if you had a different life experience and if you consume different information, you believe different things.
Makes perfect sense. Okay, to round us out today, looking back on my leadership journey, I've realized the significant role that embracing change has played in my growth. It's often been the willingness to challenge my own assumptions that has led to my and my firm ownership's advancements. How do you view the role of embracing change and challenging your own assumptions and your journey as a business owner?
I mean, the role of embracing change and challenging your own assumptions. I feel like I just answered the challenging your own assumptions
yes.
piece, but what's constant, right? Change and taxes. All right. These are the two things that always, you know, always going to be a part of your life. But what's the alternative is my question. All right. Let's say like you don't embrace change. So you don't evolve and you stick to the things that you've been doing for 20 plus years. How's that going to go for you for the next 20 years? Now, there's certain things, I think certain foundational aspects like providing great customer service, like that. I think that stands true over time. That being said, when there's new technology, not embracing that and not implementing a case management system, not embracing artificial intelligence, not doing things that can improve the output and productivity of your law firm will put you at a competitive disadvantage. The only reason you would not embrace these things is because it either scares you and it's unfamiliar, or because you are so like set in your ways that you are purposely putting your firm at a competitive disadvantage, which is just silly. There's other people who rely on you. It's not just you. I mean, there's your team members, there's your clients, there's your clients' families, your team members' families, et cetera. So they rely on your decision-making and your inability to consider, hey, maybe we should consider this thing like even a few years ago. It's funny, we were talking about this 10 years ago. Social media. So people are like, no, I'm not going to embrace social media. Okay. I remember even in the early days of Crisp, back in, you know, even before 2012, there was the video purists, right? The cinematographers that did not want, you know, this is the wave of digital was coming to the video industry and, you know, DSLR cameras. And there was the purists that were film-based, right? And they did not want to embrace digital technology in general. Well, where are they now, right? I mean, this is America. You have a right to be wrong. You have a right to, you know, have whatever beliefs you want to have. But I think failing to evolve is competitive disadvantage. And it's like, why should you care? Well, it makes everything more difficult for you. It makes it harder for the phone to ring. It makes it harder for you to get referrals. It makes it harder for you to bring in consistent cash flow. It makes it harder for you to do everything that you want to do in your own law firm. And then as a result, it impacts you personally. And it impacts everybody around you personally. And if you're intentionally doing that, again, it just blows my mind. Yes, you know, whenever there's a new technology, like having to learn something new, right? And you're like, oh, I'm too old for this shit. I thought I would finish learning when I was in college or when I graduated law school. No, you're constantly learning. I think it's seeing this as, look, there's not an end destination in business. Maybe that's what it really comes down to. Someone thinking that there is some, you know, some goal that they achieve at which point they are done. But that's not how it goes. I think there's the saying, like, the journey is the reward. And you don't truly realize that until you've achieved some incredible things and until you've hit certain milestones to where maybe you had a certain financial goal and then you hit it and, you know, and it, you realize that the aspect that you enjoy the most, if you speak to people that retired and then came out of retirement, like the aspect they enjoy the most is the learning, is the growing, is the achievement, is the solving of problems, is navigating challenges. Like you take all that away from you and you think life is going to be so easy. It's going to be so calm and you're going to be bored and you're going to be sad. And that's what's going to happen because you're not mentally challenging yourself in any sort of way. Businesses are designed to grow, but they can't outgrow you in your mind. And that's why again, if you don't love solving problems, you don't love navigating change, then maybe this is not for you. Put somebody else in the role. But I would say that, you know, just again, change is going to be constant. Years ago, we hosted a summit called the Evolve Summit. What do you think that was all about? It was kind of Darwinian in nature. It's like, it's not the strongest that survive. It's the most, the ones that adapt the most to change. So I think there should always be an aspect of the business. Like we started over a year ago, our AI task force. I saw that AI is obviously going to play a huge role, especially as we go forward. So what are all the different areas in which we can optimize things organization-wide across every single team to be more efficient, to be more effective, to be more productive? What tools can we leverage? And making it a team effort, a team-wide effort. Kind of going back to even the first question, it's like, I didn't have to figure it out on my own. I didn't know what tools are going to work best for every single department. Like you can get other people involved and then you can collaborate that way. But how have you, continue to evolve and navigate change? It's like, it's a constant. Just accept that reality. You have to accept this is what it's going to be. And guess what? A few years from now, something's going to be different. A few years from now, there's going to probably be different social platforms and different algorithms and different ways of marketing and different ways of leveraging your various tools and technology and leading teams, et cetera. It's going to change year over year over year. Of course, 10 years from now, what we're doing is going to be unrecognizable. Of course, that's going to happen. And it's looking at it from the standpoint of, okay, well, if change is going to be constant because we're going to see an evolution of society, well, then how can we as leaders, and this is like where a good leader comes in and says, well, how do I stay ahead of this stuff so my organization is always ready, that we're within striking distance of whatever it is that we want to embrace within our organization? And that's looking ahead to up-and-coming technology and up-and-coming methodologies and so on, so that you're not the last one on, right? There's, of course, the early adopters like, yeah, I bought an Apple Vision Pro, okay? Not everyone's going to jump on that right away. But you don't want to be the late adopter once everybody in your market has already embraced some sort of technology, a case management platform, some way of marketing, leadership, culture, et cetera, and you're the last one and your phone stopped ringing. That's the worst time to start embracing this stuff.
All right. I think that's it. Just embrace the change.
There you go.
You've been listening to the Game Changing Attorney podcast with Michael Mogul. If you found this episode valuable, here are three free ways that we can help you grow your law firm. Number one, download the first chapter of Michael's book absolutely free at gamechangingattorney.com. Number two, you can shoot Michael a text at 404-531-7691 and ask him any question you'd like. You might just hear the answer on the next episode. And finally, number three, if you can leave this podcast a 5-star review, it will help us gain access to more influential thought leaders and bring their lessons learned here to you. For more information on this episode, see the show notes in your podcast app or visit legalpodcast.com.